Al Horford, two for two and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
I don't really have a problem if everybody, including Kyrie, is feeling 100% and his two guys that are with him from our staff are 100% behind it. I have no problem with it.
And I actually look at it as, to be honest with you, if he can, it's a good thing to be able to run up and down the court a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't played in a while. And so even though those All-Star games are just glorified pickup games in a lot of ways, I think just being able to run up and down, move a little bit, get ready. We play next Thursday in Milwaukee. You know, if you're not able to do that for now going on 2 weeks or 12 days, it's not as advantageous. So if he can, even if he can move a little bit, if he is cleared to play, especially if he was fully 110% healthy, then I would encourage him.
Well, Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens, I guess, getting their wish, even though I don't believe it. Welcome to the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Casper, and you, 617-779-0985. So that was Danny Ainge on his weekly appearance with Toucher and Rich, followed by Brad Stevens, Alma Zolak, and Bertrand here on the Sports Hub saying, oh, yeah, no, Kyrie, go to Charlotte. Have yourself a time. It's okay that you missed against Philadelphia and Detroit, you know, games that matter. Ah, it's all right. You get the gimpy knee. Play in the All-Star game. Run it off. Never mind that you could use a treadmill at home or, you know, go to the fancy Auerbach Center that you apparently said that you loved. But, you know, you don't want to go practice there. You don't want to run there. Nah, go to Charlotte. Take care of your business deals and talk to players that you want to maybe collude with and maybe go there next summer. Ah, whatever makes you happy, Kyrie. Mwah. Whatever you need, honey. Got to keep that fiance very happy because July 1st, you said you're still going to marry us, right? Whatever you want to do. Well, as it turns out, in case you didn't hear, Kyrie Irving is planning to play in the All-Star game in Charlotte tomorrow night. The quote, looking at Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald, who covers the Celtics, quote, yeah, I'm good. So I asked about it. Yeah, I'm good. So he was there last night, coach of the Futures game.
Yeah, the Rising Stars Challenge.
Playing tomorrow night, and it feels like, well, you had a wasted column there in the Boston Globe, Chris. I still enjoyed it, but you wrote this impassioned plea to Kyrie Irving, don't play in this game on Sunday, not just for the optics of it and how it looks with him missing the games, but just even from a physical standpoint, considering the knee issues, considering how deep this team could go in the Eastern Conference, don't do it. Screw you, Chris. He's playing.
Yeah, I think that was always the likely outcome. If I didn't want him to play, I probably should have written a glowing column saying, absolutely play. You have to play in this. You must play in this All-Star game or you're letting everybody down. Then he would have been like, you know what? I'm not playing in this. Because I think he's a little bit of a contrarian and he likes to, you know, do his own thing. Look, I just look at this and I think that he's just too valuable to this team to risk anything in a meaningless game. And it's just odd to me that even before the knee, throughout the course of the year, they felt like they had to give him games off, like games that count in the standings, like, I don't know, the Brooklyn game that they lost on that road trip. They were giving him games off, rest games. Well, now we're at the rest part of the NBA calendar, and he has to play in this game basically a week after a knee injury? I don't get it.
What do you think it is from his standpoint? Is it just that he loves the limelight? He just wants, you know, this is what he enjoys the most. It is selfish. I'm sorry, it is. I do understand why they're kowtowing to him and they have to, kowtow to Kyrie.
Yeah, they're in kowtow to Kyrie mode. Yeah,
and
they have no choice.
I understand it. They really are. I mean, listen to how they were just talking earlier this week, Ainge and Stevens. Like, do what they want. And then they have to go take a shower because they have to get.
Oh, yeah, even Danny. Danny was like, I have no problem. Yeah. Like, it's like a hostage situation when they make you read something. Yeah. It's like, I have no problem with him playing in the game. If he is 100%, like, you know, that's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah. So I get it, but I don't know. Like, maybe I'm a sucker for feeling this way. I just think that he should just know better. He should be a little bit more self-aware for where he supposedly wants to go and where he said he wants to go with this team and how good that they really are when they're, you know, when it's all clicking, even though it's unfortunately not been all that, hasn't happened all that much when you do have everyone healthy and playing together. They could do it, but I don't know. There is too much risk there. And just again, I just think that it looks bad. But I can't say that I'm surprised. We also get from Anthony Davis today saying that the Celtics are on his list. Reading from Sports Illustrated here, Anthony Davis obviously talking at All-Star Weekend, negating early reports that he didn't want to play in Boston. When asked about the Celtics not being on his list of preferred destinations, he told reporters, quote, they are on my list. So that's at least encouraging to hear, because it sounded like you know, the Celtics just put their fingers in their collective ears and they're like, we don't want to hear it. Doesn't matter. We'll get him here and figure it out later. So to hear that coming out of his mouth, that's encouraging.
So I think it is great. It's a great development for the Celtics. No question about it. He's publicly declaring that the Celtics are on his list. And so let's see what happens in the NBA offseason. However, I mean, I wasn't there. I would like a little clarification. The Celtics are on the list of teams he will accept a trade to, or the Celtics are on the list of teams that he will sign long-term with? Because I'm not sure that those lists are exactly the same. So maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I just want to know, for clarification, are you saying that, yes, this is a team you will accept a trade to and consider signing long-term? Or are you just saying, yeah, you know, I'll go there for a year and, like, sort of feel it out, you know, get my Kyrie on for a year, see if I like this place or not, you know? Or are you saying, like, oh, yeah, I definitely sign there long-term, like, after the deal's made?
Refresh my memory because, because I'm a rockhead. Where are you when it comes to that? If he doesn't want to be here long-term, or at least that's maybe how he feels. Because, look, that's I know Kevin Garnett was older and it was more about a title for him at that time. But they were able to convince a player of this magnitude before who said he didn't want to be here. And they get here and then they figure it out later. If it's still, you know, an unknown and it feels like he doesn't want to sign long-term, do you still do it? Do you trade away Jason Tatum?
If it allows me to keep Kyrie, I do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it hinges on with me, too.
But there's a lot of it's like, what's the order here, right? Like, what's the order? Like, there's things that I'm not sure the Celtics are going to know for sure. Like, if you're making the Davis trade and you're like, this is going to help us keep Kyrie, and then Kyrie says, you know, I've made a decision to go somewhere else. But again, maybe it's one of those things where just bringing Davis in, it's sort of the last thing Kyrie sees, and he's like, oh, I'm going to stay here now.
Where are you on all this, McCone? Are you mad at Kyrie that he's playing tomorrow night? And what about Davis? Do you still make the deal even if he doesn't, you know, give them the assurance that he wants to be here long term?
Yeah, I do both. I am mad at Kyrie, but like, Danny, what are you supposed to do if you're the Celtics? Like, you have to just kind of eat it and go with it. And with Anthony Davis, yeah, I think you have to pull the trigger on that deal, absolutely. And just hope that it works out. The one thing that scares me is, like, before, you could say with the Kevin Garnett thing, once he gets here and he realizes that you can potentially be a winner, yeah, it's okay. But then I look at Kevin Durant, and he was up 3-1 with Oklahoma City, a team that he like grew up with, against the Warriors, and they collapsed at the end, and he still bailed and went to the Warriors. So if you don't reach where you're trying to go with Kyrie and Anthony Davis and even have a successful year, does he still bail and just go to the Lakers afterwards? Like, that's a huge concern.
That is kind of the scary thing. Like, for me, I sort of at this point feel like, without any assurances from Davis that he's going to sign the moment, you know, we trade for him or, you know, whatever, given the NBA CBA, it's probably more advantageous for him to play out the season and then sign it because he gets another year and that will bump up what he can be paid. But if you don't have any assurance from him on that, like, I look at it, it's either a package deal, Davis and Kyrie, or I'm not saying I don't want Anthony Davis, but I don't want to move Tatum when I'm only getting Anthony Davis with no assurances that he's going to re-sign. Like, for me to move Tatum, I have to feel like I'm moving Tatum, and I'm doing it because I'm getting Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving.
So your thoughts on Anthony Davis speaking today in Charlotte ahead of the All-Star game tomorrow at 617-779-0985. Are you breathing a bit of a sigh of relief today as a Celtics fan hearing that he says, quote, they're on my list, when he was asked about the Celtics not being on his list of preferred destinations, again, saying they are on my list. Back to Kyrie and your column yesterday, your impassioned plea, play tomorrow night. But some of the stuff you've heard from Stevens and Danny Ainge this week, do you find it, you understand it? Like, we can
I understand.
But do you find it unbecoming?
I mean, I wouldn't say unbecoming, but I do think they're having to sort of swallow their pride and bend their will and their principles a little bit to accommodate Kyrie. I mean, I think there is a sense with that organization that, you know, they have to court this guy all over again, and that you never know what could set him off or send him in a different direction away from you. And, you know, I mean, you know, Danny's great in interviews, and he was really good on Toucher and Rich. But I think if you're reading between the lines there, again, a little like a hostage situation. It was like, please send help. Like, you know, I mean, it's just he's saying what he has to say, but I don't think he believes it. And then the same goes for Stevens. It just look, it doesn't make sense to me. It is contradictory that you are so worried about this guy getting through the year and having him for the playoffs that you're sitting him out of regular season games with relatively minor like injuries, and he's going to play in the All-Star game coming off a knee injury. And I know it's only a strain, but it's still, it's a knee. So and it just doesn't make sense.
Well, and you think, too, right from based on your column, that considering how much he loves the limelight in a game of this magnitude, even though it's an all-star game, he'll go full tilt because he usually likes to shine in these kind of moments.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is. I mean, I think I put in the column, like, if he shows up for the game, he's going to try and show out. And he is. That's the way the guys – I mean, that's one of the things I love about him is that he's a super competitor and he's an alpha and he wants to prove it every time. I love that. But I think that could work against him in this circumstance. So – yeah, he feels 100%, and that's great, and you're out there, but now you're trying to, like, you know, put on a show or prove something or prove that you're the star of stars, and one false step, and now you're hurt. And now, you know, what you said was your primary focus for this year. I mean, he said this on February 1st when he got interrogated in New York about his plans as a free agent. You know, everybody said they focus on the part where he said, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my career, and that's just where it stands. After that, he said, and my focus this season is winning a championship with the Boston Celtics. Well, if that's really your focus, then why do you need to play in this game?
All right, let's hear from you. What do you think about Kyrie? He's playing tomorrow night in the All-Star game. And today, Anthony Davis and Charlotte telling reporters they are on my list when asked about the Celtics not being on his list of preferred destinations. 617-779-0985. Oh, just real quickly, I didn't think it was unbecoming for the Celtics and how they've talked about Kyrie playing in this thing until the tipping point for me was when Danny Ainge took to Twitter and retweeted Chris Forsberg, who we'll talk to coming up this hour, NBC Sports Boston, where he breaks down stats that prove the Celtics not better with Kyrie. Danny retweets him and writes, duh, with a little shamrock. Oh, yeah. And then 5 minutes later, he's in the shower crying and soaping himself up like, oh, what am I doing? Back to you and your calls here in the Sports Hub Celtics Show right after this. Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Gordon Hayward on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 the Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is not Kyrie Irving's fault. Not at all. I'm not looking at Kyrie Irving. Let me tell y'all something right now. Y'all better start showing appreciation and respect for greatness. Let me tell you something right now. Kyrie Irving, listen, he can ball. We all know that. But there's certain people that can ball, and there's certain people who are box office. Kyrie is the problem. What drug are you sniffing, basketball America? It is not Kyrie that's the problem.
Stephen A. Smith going off about those saying Celtics are better without Kyrie Irving. Look at the last couple of games here against Philadelphia, their rival. And don't buy into that nonsense. That game again proved that the Celtics own that ass. What a dumb, stupid team that they are. And we'll get more into that game coming up in the hour here on Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. But this one's starting to drive me nuts. Oh, well, the Celtics are a better team without Kyrie Irving. Look at how well that they play. Look at how much Gordon Hayward has improved these last couple of games. The offense is running through him. You don't buy into this, do you?
No. No, I don't think they're better with Kyrie Irving. Better off without Kyrie Irving, I mean. They're better with Kyrie Irving. I'm sorry, here's my other thing about this. Who have they really beaten without Kyrie?
Well, thank you.
I mean, everyone's saying the 76ers. Okay, but they beat the 76ers last year without Kyrie. Like, the 76ers have a huge mental block with the Celtics. It's obvious. And I know this not just from watching them, but because I talked to Landry Shamet when he was here with the Clippers, who got traded from the 76ers, and he said, when I asked him about it, he said, like, that was the team we were shooting for. Every time we played them, it was personal. I mean, the Celtics own space in their brains.
They really do.
They do. And so, okay, go beat somebody else without Kyrie, and then we can have a talk. But the 76ers, and I understand it's different. They have Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, I think, had been there for a whopping two games before they played against the Celtics in Philly, but who have they really beaten without him? It doesn't make any sense to me.
And some stats to back this up. They are not better without Kyrie Irving. This is courtesy of old Felger and Maz intern Tucker Boynton. You should be following him on Twitter. He does a lot of good video stuff, at Tucker_TNL. Kyrie Irving against the top five seeds in the East and the West. Here's his numbers. 51.4% from the field, 40.6% from three, averaging 24.2 points, 7.4 assists, 4.7 rebounds. And they've played one game against a top five seed without Kyrie against a team that they own in Philadelphia, like you say. Like, and not only that, just to, and for those of you that care about plus minus, in those 15 games where I just gave you those numbers, the Celtics are plus 66 with Kyrie on the floor, minus 41 without him. And if you want to get into the record, the wins and losses, it's 8-7, okay, but I think it's 6-3 or 6-2 when it comes to the East. That's what matters more. They're not better without him. Just eyeball test alone. Go back to the Golden State game a few weeks back on Saturday. You know, for 3 weeks ago tonight, right? Okay, he had a couple of bad turnovers there late in the fourth. I'll give you that. But without him, they get blown out of the building. That game in the fourth quarter was essentially just him and Al Horford against five of the best players in the NBA.
Just
how he single-handedly takes over. They don't have a finisher. Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals against Cleveland last year, when everybody goes ice cold in that second half. If Kyrie plays in that game, do they lose it? They don't.
No, they win that. They win that. And here's the other thing. Again, look, it might be a more aesthetically pleasing style of basketball when he's out of there. It might be a style of basketball that reflects the beliefs of Brad Stevens more. It might be something that is more familiar to us, you know, what we're used to seeing from the Celtics. But I don't think it's better. And I think it has, I think it comes with a built-in glass ceiling. Like, I don't think you can win a championship that way. I think you'd be back to what you were before, you know, as you called them, the Bridgies. That's sort of where you would be, at least until Tatum became, you know, like a top 10 player in the league. And the other part of this, when you look at it with Kyrie Irving and this whole thing, like, isn't this Brad Stevens' job to be able to meld the individual brilliance of Kyrie Irving with the team success and the ensemble play that they've had in the past, to be able to meld those two things so that when you need one, you can pull it out of your toolbox. When you need the other one, you can pull the other one out. Like, isn't that Brad's job? Why are we talking about this like it's an either or? It should not be.
All right, but you can still be mad about him playing in the All-Star game tomorrow. I will give you that.
Definitely.
Pat in the car, you're up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. What do you think about Kyrie playing tomorrow night?
Hey, guys. I just want to say, first of all, thanks for injecting some sanity into this Kyrie, the Celtics being better without Kyrie. He's obviously a phenomenal player. With regard to him playing in the All-Star game, I got to say, I don't have any problem with it at all. I think teams are very conscious about managing players' usage. You have the savvier teams that always down the stretch are resting guys, getting ready for the playoffs. We know that teams have been worn out. The year that Golden State tried to win 73 games comes to mind. So, you know, I think it's easy to read a lot into Kyrie missing a game here, a game there, as though it's this, it's really inappropriate for him to play in the All-Star game when he hasn't been playing with the Celtics. But we don't really know the extent of the injury, and it might just be a matter of them conserving him a little bit. But that's all I got to say on that.
Right. Yeah, but here's the thing. We do know that they feel like they need to conserve him, right?
Because, again, you've mentioned that they were sitting him in these games against lesser teams with minor injuries.
Yeah, so we do know that they feel like they need to conserve him, sort of, period. So now we're at a time of year in the NBA calendar they can do this. They can conserve him, and he's going to play in the game coming off an injury. And here's the other thing. I understand what the caller was saying. I get it. But you know what? Second half, air quotes, of the NBA season, because they played 58 games, these final 24 games, you know what? Kyrie really can't be conserved. They need the seeding. He has to play. Like, rest time is over. They need to make sure they get seeding. They need to make sure they get home court. This is going to be a sprint to the finish for them. The first 10 games they come out of the break, Jim, they're playing eight teams that are like potential playoff teams, that are playoff contenders. There's not a lot of I mean, you can sit him against Atlanta or whatever, but there's not going to be a lot of opportunities to sit him in the final 24 games here.
Danny in Hampton on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Danny. Hello.
Yes. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I got a couple of things I want to say as far as what the chemistry is going on with the Celtics and the problem with Kyrie. And first of all, you know, I really wish they had won that seventh game last year. Then instead of pounding that, they would have been embarrassed, obviously, by Golden State, and they might be a little more humble. As for Kyrie, I just don't think the guy is meant to be a team leader. I think he's Robin. He's not Batman. And I guess that's about what all I wanted to say.
All right. Well, thanks very much there, Danny.
Sonny. Well, I mean, in terms of the team, I would disagree. I think he can play like Batman, but he's not, you know, he's not going to be. I do think the leadership thing is a work in progress for him. There are some guys who are just lead by example guys, and there's some guys who can both lead by example and lead by what they offer verbally in the locker room. I don't think Kyrie struck the right tone this year, but I still think he can develop into a leader. And certainly he's a good enough player for me to be the best player on a championship team.
The other news today, in case you haven't heard, coming out of Charlotte ahead of tomorrow night's All-Star game is to the Pelicans' Anthony Davis. When asked about the Celtics not being on his list of preferred destinations, he told reporters today, quote, "They are on the list." Just adding that for emphasis, obviously, for you WWE fans. But Stefan in Charlotte, sounds like you are not buying what Anthony Davis said today. Why?
I'm not buying it at all. So I happened to run into him at an appearance yesterday in Uptown. He was judging a skills competition, but every time he spoke, every time he spoke to the crowd, sounded like a politician on a campaign speech. Happy to be here. Love all the teams. Look forward to the off season. I think he's just saying it to keep media good, and I don't think it's that sincere at all.
Chris?
That's interesting. I mean, I guess we'll find out at the end of the day, right? In the off season, you, Anthony Davis, Rich Paul, are they still angling to push him to the Lakers? Or is it just like, yeah, here's our list. Any of these teams, we're good. Oh, Boston? They have the most stuff to offer. Whoever the GM of the Pelicans is at that point, yeah. Okay, yeah, no problem. Boston, let's do it. Or do they start sort of whispering like, well, we don't know about Kyrie. Is Kyrie going to be there? I don't know. You can make this deal, but, you know, we don't think we're going to sign long term. Oh, but LeBron? Yeah, yeah, we're signing there. Yeah, long term deal, no doubt about it. Like, I still think there's some manipulation left here at the end of this thing, that at the end of the day, whether it's Rich Paul or Anthony Davis or the two of them together, they're going to manipulate this scenario to send him to one particular team, and I'm not sure it's the Celtics.
So he went on later today to say that all 29 other teams are on his list.
Oh.
So if you tell me that Anthony Davis is like happy being a Memphis Grizzly, then yeah.
Oh, well, caller Stefan might have been right then. Yeah,
Stefan,
he's just playing,
nails
the,
it.
Playing the part of the politician. Oh, what a jerk. Every other team's on there?
Every team's on the list. Wait a second. Wait, did he say, he said all,
you want to go to Orlando?
All 29 other teams are on that
all
list.
All 20, okay, I want to make sure. Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
That is unbelievable. He's like, Memphis Grizzlies, bring me in, baby. I'm Team Memphis. Beale Street, baby. Beale Street. Like, get out of here,
Brooklyn,
really?
Brooklyn Nets, sure. Yeah, why not? What other relevant franchise can I spin the wheel of in the NBA and land on? Oh, well, it doesn't matter. You can deal me anywhere. Oh, man, all right. Well, credit to Stefan, who just called in and thought that it was a crock.
He's like, Utah Jazz. He's like, I've always wanted to live in Salt Lake City. It's a lifelong dream, man. Sign me up, Jazz. I'm ready to roll.
617-779-0985. You want to join the Sports Hub Celtics show? Got a couple of open lines here. Obviously talking about Kyrie Irving. Again, he is playing in the All-Star game tomorrow night, this Anthony Davis thing. It sounds like the Celtics are on the list with everybody else
now.
Oh,
dude, Anthony Davis, it's clear to me now he's angling to go to the Kings. He wants to play in Sacramento. I knew it.
We're going to get you caught up with Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone. We come back, we're going to talk to Chris Forsberg, covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. I want to know if he thinks that what we've seen from Gordon Hayward this week is indicative of what we're going to see going further. Because he looks like, well, it looks like the old Gordon Hayward pre-injury. So we'll get to that. Sports Hub Celtics show coming up here, 98.5 Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show.
This is Kyrie Irving on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Tatum finds Morris, puts it to the floor, drives around. Griffin, Drummond is there waiting for him. So the kick out, Tatum swung to the open. Hayward for three, got it. Gordon Hayward, welcome home.
I feel like Gordon is playing with fun. He's playing with force. His body looks healthy. He looks to be playing with confidence. Some of that confidence last night could be that, you know, like Rozier and Kyrie weren't there. He's clearly the next best ball handler, and it's fun to see. I mean, Gordon's worked really hard.
Sports Hub Celtics show, 98.5 the Sports Hub. So Danny Ainge, again, on with Toucher and Rich, making his usual weekly appearance here on 98.5 the Sports Hub earlier this week, talking about Gordon Hayward and his great week. I mean, he's been good for a few weeks here, but he looked like, you know, pre-injury Gordon Hayward in the wins over Philadelphia and Detroit. And while from a shooting standpoint, Chris, I thought the game against Philadelphia was sexier, you know, especially in that fourth quarter. Those threes he were hitting, like, they dripped through. There was no hesitation whatsoever. But against Detroit, I was actually more impressed with that game. Because of the aggressiveness, he gets to the line eight times. He looked like good Gordon Hayward. We bring in Chris Forsberg, covers the Celtics, NBC Sports Boston. A lot to work through here and talk about with you, Chris. But we'll start with Gordon Hayward. Is good Gordon here to stay?
Yeah. See, every time I say that, then there's like another lull. So I don't want to put too much pressure on him now. But certainly, you know, I think even if you go back to the start of the season, we kept saying like, all right, let's give him to the All-Star break. Let's give him till March, whatever the timeline you want to give it is. He's clearly getting more comfortable. I think what was really nice about that Detroit game was that he was aggressive going to the basket. And there's been times this season where he's drove, but he certainly looks like he's going to pass or, you know, didn't want to draw contact. It seems like that's starting to shift a little bit. And, you know, maybe that's just a product of, he had a really good game in Philadelphia. You get that confidence. All of a sudden, you're just feeling it a little bit more out there. It would be nice if he could bottle this up and continue to make progress. But I just think there's going to still be nights where that ankle's not going to respond. But if you can have more good games than bad, that's really important to this team in the long term.
Of course, when we look at, the last three games where he's been really, really good, it starts with the Clippers game where Kyrie gets hurt in the second quarter. And then Philadelphia, Kyrie doesn't play. And then Detroit, there's no Kyrie and no Terry Rozier. So can he do this when they have their full complement of guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question for everybody, right? Like, can Terry Rozier be Terry Rozier, like starter Terry, when he's at a bench role? I think it's all so important. To me, the question isn't, are they better without Kyrie, which is, like, absurd and ludicrous, but, like, can they figure out a way for everyone to play really, really well when Kyrie's out there? And they haven't done that very often this year. It's nice that guys can step up when he's not there, but getting them to produce at that level when he's out there is going to be probably the key to the season. And so, you know, it doesn't hinge necessarily just on Gordon. It's got to be Tatum and Brown and Rozier. Everybody's got to be able to be impactful when Kyrie is out there. And so I'm eager to see if when Kyrie's back out there in Milwaukee, what this team looks like. Can they all sort of get it going at the same time? Because if they do, you know, then that's finally the team that we've sort of expected. And like they've been really good since November 26th and the whole starting lineup changed, but I still think there's another level they can go to, and so much of it depends on everyone sort of embracing their roles.
Chris Forsberg joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Let's work through the news of today. Kyrie is playing in the All-Star game in Charlotte tomorrow night. Is this a bad look, or there's some concern on your behalf, like with Gasper, just from a physical standpoint with him playing in this thing?
Yeah, like when they said he wasn't going to play on Wednesday, I was like, okay, he's probably not going to play in the All-Star game then. I just thought, like, optics, it looked bad. You know, it's not good. I keep comparing it to my kids stay home from school and then they want to go to dance class afterward. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. So, you know, I get it. And, the Celtics are certainly going to bat for him here and saying, well, you know, there was a chance he could have played on Wednesday, that if they had a game Friday or Saturday, they would have thrown him out there. I just don't know. Like, I don't want to get too worked up about it because it's the NBA All-Star game and it's such a breezy, you know, no competition, and the risk of injury is really low. And yet, if something does happen, oh my God, I can't wait to see your phone lines on Monday because it's going to be a complete meltdown. That being said, like, listen, all right, I'll buy what they're selling. It is somewhat good to get him out there, let him run up and down. If your goal is to have him back and ready and competing for Thursday night in Milwaukee, like, could they have done it elsewhere? Obviously. Like, they could have found any gym in America and let him run up and down the court. But listen, these guys, they find the NBA All-Star game to be an important moment. As a fan-voted starter, it's important for the league for him to be out there. He brought a bunch of family and friends down there. And just, you know what, he feels like if he's healthy enough, he might as well be out there. And, you know, hey, Celtics are going to sit down and pray that he doesn't bump knees with anybody.
So here's my point on sort of the Kyrie and the All-Star game thing, Chris. And I guess I have two points. One, again, February 1st in New York, you know, he was pretty clear that his focus this season is winning a championship with the Boston Celtics. I don't really see how playing in the All-Star game fits into that. If your focus is what you said it was, then, you know, even if you can play or you want to play, you probably should sit this one out just to make sure you're ready to play every single one of the 24 games after the All-Star break that you can, because the team needs it for seeding and positioning. So that's sort of my first point. And my second question would be, do you genuinely think that Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge believe what they're saying in terms of supporting Kyrie playing this game, or do they not have an alternative? Do they not have a choice given sort of the situation they're in and trying to ensure that he comes back?
Yeah, listen, you never know what to believe, right? I did ask Danny, I said, you know, doesn't this look bad? And he said, listen, when it first happened, I thought the same thing, that I didn't like the idea. But I don't know, you know, I don't know if Kyrie's going to them and fighting for it, or if they're just trying to appease him. Like, that's the one part of this, like, I can't really get a handle on, is like, is he fighting it and saying, hey, listen, this is really important to me, I want to be there, and they're acquiescing, or is this them just saying, you know what, man, do whatever you want, you know, the risk really isn't there. It's probably a balance of the two. But, you know, for me, the most important part was, like, he was going down there anyway.
Sure.
Like, I would prefer if he had schmoozed and then said, you know what, just like you said, it's not worth the risk. If my goal is to be an NBA champion, like, why even put myself in that position and to just gracefully back out? I don't know if there's pressure from the league based on the fan vote and all that, but certainly, again, it's not a great look overall, but in the grand scheme of things, if he makes it out healthy, then we'll look back and it'll just be another little blip on the season.
All right, so then the other story, Dell Demps, the GM in New Orleans, gets fired yesterday, and then ahead of the All-Star game tomorrow night, today Anthony Davis just explained that he never said the Celtics weren't on the list of possible destinations, so the Celtics have made the list. And as it turns out, so did every other team in the NBA. What do you make of all this?
Who could have seen this coming? I just think it's funny. Like, listen, a lot of times this source stuff in the NBA, and they try, you know, the agents trying to power play guys to certain spots, and you can't really parse what's going on. But this one has been like completely transparent, and it was pretty obvious that they were going to do everything in their power to force New Orleans to try to make a deal to the Lakers to get Anthony Davis where he could go before the deadline. But once the deadline passed and Boston was back on even footing, you just felt like the narrative was eventually going to shift. And this is the start of it. And whether he's saying, you know, Boston wasn't not on my list, or that all 29 teams are in play, whatever. Like, there's only so many teams that can trade for Anthony Davis. Like, if he's being honest, there's, you know, a small handful. Is part of that will depend on the draft lottery. He doesn't have the choice, right? Like, the Pelicans are going to trade him whoever has the best package. It doesn't matter what list he makes. It doesn't matter who's running the show down there. If the Celtics put Jason Tatum on the table and can come up with the most competitive offer in the league, it all comes down to whether that's what New Orleans wants to do and whether this new GM wants to build from the ground back up. And so, you know, we got to wait a couple more months to figure that out and see how they get this new GM in place and whether Danny has a relationship with them. But, again, I go back to it. I don't know if any of these parts matter. It just comes down to, does ownership want a rebuild, and are the Celtics willing to put the best assets they have out there?
Well, I think part of it, and where Anthony Davis, Chris, maybe can influence it in some way, is his willingness, or what he signals is his willingness to sign a long-term deal. Do you get the sense that, like, no matter where he's traded, he would just play out the final year of the contract? Or is there, you know, a situation in your mind where if he gets traded to a preferred destination, I know he claims those don't exist, where he would just sign the extension?
Yeah, I think it's much like Paul George, much like Kawhi, and, like, you know, we'll see what happens with Kawhi this summer, but, you know, these guys all sort of sit there and say, don't trade for me, I'm just going to go to L.A., or there's this suggestion that that's what they're going to do. And then, like, you know, I think Paul George sort of set the tone here. Like, guys go places, they fall in love with where they are, they see the potential, they see the benefits to it, and then their mind starts to shift. I don't doubt that Anthony Davis would love the situation in L.A., but I do think, I don't think it's just exclusively Boston here, is that he could go to different places, whether that's New York, if they somehow stumbled into the number one pick and traded for him, or Boston, and play out the season and go, you know what, like, I don't want to relocate. I see we got something good here. I want to play for, if in the case of Boston, Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge and all this. I do think that, you know, teams do have to weigh that risk, but the hardest part in this league is getting the guy. And so if you can be brazen enough to go out there and trade for him, you just got to trust your program and trust the what you've built is going to sway those guys. And that's what Oklahoma City did. I think that's what the Raptors are doing now. And I think Danny, like, that's why he will never be dissuaded here, because he's just confident that once they get the guy here, they're going to stay. And, hey, we'll get a little bit of a litmus test with Kyrie this summer.
Looking ahead to the games remaining starting next Thursday in Milwaukee against the Bucks, do you foresee any changes to the lineup, minutes being limited, or change in terms of how Brad Stevens is going to handle what's left in the schedule?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it'll probably stay pretty consistent right now. Like, I was always on board that they were going to probably tweak the lineup at some point, but, like, the starters have been really good, and especially in, like, the first and fourth quarters, and I don't know if there's necessarily a need. I think there's times where, you know, they've had those third quarter lulls where maybe he could switch something up, like, if they needed more size, you throw Aaron Baines out there when he's back. You know, there's situations where I can see, like, small tweaks. But right now, I think you lean on your depth, you continue to limit minutes. You know, you really don't crunch that rotation until you have to in the playoffs. There are a couple of tough games here. I do think the rotation will crunch a bit just because you're going to play some of those playoff teams. So you throw your best nine guys out there against Milwaukee and Toronto, see where you are. You know, again, I go back to what we started the conversation with, is I'm really eager to see when Kyrie is back and everyone is healthy, and now that the bench guys have started to get some confidence, like, where does this team rank? All right, like, they own Philly. Like, we really shouldn't be surprised that they went in there without Kyrie and beat them. But, you know, Milwaukee to me has been the juggernaut in the East, and I don't know how they're going to do in the playoffs, but they're rolling right now, and I want to see where Boston stands with them. And then go up to Toronto, and now with them having Gasol, where do they stand? We'll know a lot more about this team by the end of the month and where they sort of line up and what strides they've got to make But all indications are that, you know, come playoff time, they should be right there with all of them.
All right, Chris, one last thing before you go. On the one hand, you don't get to enjoy deliciousness at the likes of Bojangles and Cookout. On the other hand, you get to remain thin. Are you upset you're not in Charlotte for the All-Star game?
When the arena is the Bojangles Coliseum, I am devastated. You know, like, I didn't want to, like, Sherrod's got the tenure there, and I didn't want to take away All-Star weekend, but I sometimes book flights to connect through Charlotte because they have the Bojangles in one of the terminals, them in Atlanta. And so, yeah, fat kid me loves going through those places and getting my spicy chicken biscuit. I'm slightly devastated.
All right. Enjoy the little bit of...
Wait. For you, because you're the food connoisseur, what is your favorite Southern fast food?
I know it's going to sound hack, but it's Chick-fil-A. It is just that basic Chick-fil-A sandwich with the pickles. It's every time you bite into it, my knees get weak. That Chick-fil-A sandwich, it's a breathtaking food item.
One of the best parts of the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Oh, without question.
They were crazy not to open on Sunday.
Right, but you can't go wrong with those shakes at Cookout either. Chris Forsberg, he of course covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. Follow him on Twitter if you're not already doing it, at Chris Forsberg _. Enjoy the time off until next Thursday when they take on the Bucks, Chris.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Always a pleasure. Chris Forsberg joining us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Oh, yeah, man. Chick-fil-A, now you got me thinking about it. Now I'm going to have to make a stop before we go home. And they're so out of the way. Hurry up and put one in the city. Apparently they're going to. Did I see something about that?
I don't know. I mean, there's one in Dedham. It's right next to the city.
It's a hike. And everyone goes on a Saturday, too. The lines are going to be out of control. Nope. I'm not going
to
give
it. Go to that one at the North Shore Mall.
Oh, that's right.
I dip in there sometimes when I visit my parents. I do. I'll just dip in.
Oh, you're seeing us again, Chris. Again this week? Yeah,
good to see you.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best. Okay, we'll continue the Sports Hub Celtics show here. I do want to go back to this game against Philadelphia, and really, they are just a repulsive team to watch. It shouldn't be a surprise that they won that game without Kyrie Irving. If you think otherwise, I'm sorry, you're not paying attention, because they own that ass. We're going to talk about Celtics and the Sixers earlier this week, and you want to join in, 617-779-0985. It's 98.5 Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Taylor Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jimmy Butler steps around. Gordon Hayward does not get the shot away in time, and the Celtics have done it. Without Kyrie Irving, without Aaron Baines, they have come down to Philadelphia and beaten the Sixers again. And if it is always darkest, dawn may just have broken for the Boston Celtics. The final score, Boston 112, Philadelphia 109.
I just thought the whole night we played the right way, and we tried to stay within ourselves, and we didn't get too high or too low, and we fought. And, you know, that's what you have to do to have a chance to win.
At the end of the day, it comes down to guarding our own man. So that's what we have to do. You know, these guys that take advantage of, you know, when we do help and move the ball pretty well. So we just need to do a better job of guarding our own man, starting with me. The referee suck.
Has Joel Embiid been fined for that yet? Sports Up Celtics Show with Gasper Murray.
Yeah, he was fine. He was fine for it. Yeah.
He was. Okay. So that's some of the fallout after the Celtics 112-109 win over the 76ers earlier this week in Philadelphia, a game that I think too many people made too much of in terms of, wow, see how good the Celtics looked without Kyrie Irving against their chief rival. Their chief rival, who they own. They own them. That shouldn't have been a surprise, even though it felt like the Celtics were kind of reeling with some ugly losses and, you know, coming off the ugly loss last Saturday to the Clippers and then prior to that, the Lakers. And this is more about the 76ers. That is a soft, gutless group. And it starts with Joel Embiid, who I mostly enjoy. I do, especially when it comes to his social media game. But, man, he is quick with the slump shoulders and the give up. That is way too much of that guy's game. And maybe that starts at the top with Brett Brown. But it's not just a Celtics thing. Okay, they make this trade. They add Tobias Harris. They have a great starting five on paper. They're 3-1 since with the one loss coming to the Celtics. They're 1-7 against the Celtics, Bucks, and Raptors. That lone win against the Raptors without Kawhi Leonard. Soft and gutless.
Ooh, so I knew the 1-7. I didn't know the lone win was without Kawhi.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's indicative of who they are. So, I don't know. Like, there is so much talent there with the five. I don't think their bench is all that great. So, I do wonder if they maybe had, well, a Brad Stevens or a Mike Budenholzer who's with the Bucks. Maybe they get more out of it. But I'm sorry. Like, they're just – I find that team unwatchable. I really do. And Ben Simmons, I like in the paint, but he made how many fadeaway jumpers are you going to cling? Like, they're just, I find them almost unwatchable anytime that they play the Celtics. As a Celtics fan, I enjoy it because it usually means it's like a guaranteed win because, again, they own them. But they just play sloppy and stupid. They really are. And maybe that's just more about Brett Brown than anything else.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, they're clearly in a win-now mode. They're kind of loading up with Brett Brown and Elton Brand, and they've really gone all in, bringing in Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. I still don't think they have enough shooting. Harris can shoot, no question about that, and we know J.J. Redick can. But they've traded some guys who can shoot to get guys. You know, Dario Saric could shoot. Yeah. He's not there. He was a floor spacer. They moved Landry Shamet, who was giving them shooting off the bench, which was really important for them because Fultz couldn't shoot. And Simmons won't really take threes, although he's just started to take, like, a three. So when you look at that team, I mean, they're really sort of front-loaded. And to your point, I just feel like with Simmons and Embiid, those guys are still developing, I think, the type of tough skin you need mentally to be successful in the NBA. I don't think they're there yet. I think you said mentally soft. I would agree with you at this point. I just think that those are guys who went really high, obviously, up in the draft, and just sort of feel like on talent alone it should be handed to them. And when they're faced with adversity, they're not really sure what to do.
And if it's not softness, then maybe bitchiness. Because you see, like, cheap fouls from the likes of Simmons and, you know, complaining about the refs and things like that. Like, they're just on paper, again, they should be better. And they look good since they made that Tobias Harris trade. But it feels like a volatile mix. And Jimmy Butler's one of these guys, too, you know? Like, I don't know. Bottom line is, I don't worry about that team at all. The Celtics this season might have been a bit of an underachiever, and that's putting it mildly, and a disappointment. And as much as I have my concerns about them, there's one thing I don't have to be concerned with, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a lock. The Celtics own them. They're not as good as they look that they are on paper. We'll continue the Celtics conversation because now we have sound. We have actually sound from Anthony Davis down in Charlotte today saying, hey, the Celtics are on the list again, along with everybody else. So we'll get to that. And I promise your phone calls as it pertains to the Celtics and everything we've discussed in this hour right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.